It's time for Industry Night, our weekly segment that talks food and hospitality. My guest is here tonight to answer one simple question. What would happen if Riot Fest opened a restaurant? Okay. Enter Riot Feast. The rock festival is known for taking over Douglas Park in September, but this month they take over a restaurant space in Wicker Park to open up their very first eatery. It's a pop-up restaurant, one that takes over an existing restaurant for a limited time. It's open through September, and it offers up entrees like Never Mind the Chicken, Here's the Funnel Cakes, or drinks like Bad Religion. Get it? I get it. Good. Riot Feast comes from the same brains that put together the wildly successful Saved by the Max pop-up, which recreated the diner from Saved by the Bell. Riot Feast is just the latest from Derek Barry, Zach Eastman, and Steve Harris, and Derek Barry is in studio tonight. Derek, thanks for being here.
Pleasure
You're,
to be here.
You are a celebrity now. I mean, everybody in the world knows Saved by the Max, and that's literal at this point because it was such a viral hit. Riot Feast, let's talk about this because I want to talk about Saved by the Max as well. But Riot Feast, this concept is one that's a little different than the Saved by the Max in the way that you're collaborating with the Riot Fest people.
It actually couldn't be any more different than Saved by the Max. I mean, from the concept of it, yes, the partnership of it, you know, with Saved by the Max, it was a licensed property, and we were partners at NBC. But with Riot Feast, it's a complete collaborative. The menu's completely different. This is a family-style 7-course meal, like, eat till your belly hurts. And the room in general is completely different. I mean, say by the Max, you'd walk in with sensory overload, super bright. Riot Feast, it's dark. It's a turn of the century carnival theme, like Prohibition era, you know? Yeah, exactly what you're thinking. It's crazy. And it's, I mean, like, all of my friends and family that have come in are like, is this seriously the same place? And that was what we hoped for with the follow-up theme, was to completely
because
wow everybody.
Because the theme everybody. And the decor is entirely different.
Decor, the vibe, loud punk music the whole time, you know, Saved by the Max, we're 90s jams. I mean, everything is different. And that was the goal. And I hope we nailed it on the head.
Well, with Saved by the Max, the concept was to, in a way, loosely recreate the Bayside, what is it called? Max's
the Deli. Max. No, there is no loosely about it. You know, like, we set out and we were like, we're gonna like duplicate that thing. Screenshots, Netflix, over and over with our designer, and like, we just, I mean, like, I think we nailed it. People were really happy, and hence why we're moving it to LA, and which has opened the doors.
Well, I have
for,
a lot of questions about that.
I'm but ready let, for.
Okay,
yeah.
but the difference, I mean, even in the way that you came up with the concept, I mean,
yes.
You're coming off of trying to recreate something from pop culture. Riot Fest, you're interpreting or you're inspiring
yes.
off of a fest. There's no actual Riot Feast restaurant. How I mean, talk about the jump to go from something where you're trying to recreate specifically the cafe or
the diner,
cafeteria, the
totally.
Diner from Saved by the Bell. And
to something no one has any idea
yeah.
about. That's been a big, that was a big part of this. It was fun. We got to curate. What is it? With Saved by the Max, you know, we knew exactly what we were doing. People knew what they were getting into. This, there's like a level of mysteriousness behind it. And we did sit down. You know, the first conversation was like, are we going to recreate like a CBGB's? Are we going to do this punk rock place where everything on the walls got pictures from, you know? But Riot Mike, who is the founder, co-founder mm-hmm. of Riot Fest, we first sat down. He was telling us like the direction from day one that Riot Fest took. I always have to say feast and fest to make sure I'm saying the right one.
Right.
So I apologize.
Well, also a little aside, Google cannot handle Riot Feast.
Oh, I know.
It's like you meant Riot Fest.
Yeah.
Like it's a lot of like
well, it's a
arguing
big festival.
With Google. I'm,
yeah.
Yeah, I'm
yeah,
arguing with
analytics.
Google all afternoon, but go ahead.
And it is my favorite music festival. I'm not just saying that. I've always appreciated things they did, the things they stand for, the reunions they put on. So the chance to actually work with them, this is the first time around, and it's been awesome. But that aside, Mike, when we sat down, said, you know, we're taking this, and we've always thought it was like a carnival theme. Like, it's not just the music. It's this big kind of freak show going on. And this would be the perfect time to really do that. And we did. And, you know, we use certain things like, is it an American Horror Story, the carnival season? Is it just finding older pictures? You know, so we it was a collaborative of all those. But, like, it came together. And when the tenting started coming up, everyone just, like, took a step back and we're like, yeah. This is what it needs to be. Because you eat so much and you're kind of just, it is like a feast. There's so much going on in there. I couldn't just imagine being in a regular setting and doing that.
You know, I mean, how much of it, I mean, you're restaurateurs now. I mean, your background was in nightclubs. You've done
yeah.
other things. I mean,
yeah.
even the design seems to be top of mind for you. But I mean, this is a, I mean, you have to put good food out in front of people as well.
Yeah.
Talk about that concept about adjusting and almost transitioning from just being a club promoter or owning nightclubs to being a restaurateur.
You know, sometimes it's completely different and sometimes it's the exact same. Where it's completely different is, I think with nightclubs, you kind of always know what you're getting into. You can predict the forecast. You can predict those trends. You know, when it's cold out, it's going to be slower, and then it's going to be busy because no one leaves the bar. These are things we learn, you know. Me personally, in food, it's like, well, is it going to rain? Will people stay in? Like a nightclub, they're like, no way. Well, people made these reservations months out, right? And they still don't show up because it's an unpredictable thing. I think there's just this difference for me. But, you know, we're learning a ton. One of my partners, Steve, he's been in the restaurant business for about 20 years.
So Steve Harris.
It's been all over the board. So he's been like a mentor to me and Zach. We've learned a ton of him through this. And I think he's learned a ton from the way we do things. So it's been like a really good partnership. But the ways that it's the same, it's like if you're not on your grind, man, you're going to get eaten up. Chicago does not F around. Like, I mean, like you got to bring it. Your food's got to rule. It's got to look amazing in there. There's got to be like a vibe. There's got to be something that people leave with and it hit all five senses.
And it is interesting because the nightclub business is probably similar to the idea of doing these kind of pop-ups.
Exactly.
Where it's about vibe. It's not just about the food. It's about the experience.
And it's experience. Like, and you know that word and like pop-up experience, like it gets overused and people are talking to me sometimes. They're like, what's your next pop-up? And I'm like, I don't know what that word means. Like, stop, you know, or like. But, like, the experience is, like, I loved, like, the ticketing system talk we used. It's, like, book your experience. And when we saw that, we were, like, cheesy, but that's exactly for what we were looking for. As in, it's cheesy how perfect it was for us, not that they use it. I think it's exactly what we want. So, even in this setting, or, like, it's not as much as, like, a show, say, by the Max Riot Feast, it is an experience. Touches all five senses. It's Instagrammable. It's shareable. And that's what nightclubbing, I think, is. And that's where we're taking it over to here, too. And there's a lot of photo ops. Excuse me. When we built it out, we wanted people taking pictures. We've got like an 8-foot bullseye to stand in front of. We've got like a Ferris wheel seat that has was taken out of a Ferris wheel and it's plugged in, and behind it's a drone shot of Riot Fest. So when you're in it and taking the photo op, it looks like you're way up in the air. So there's a bunch of these going on, you know, stick a quarter in a machine, get an egg, and the golden egg has a Riot Fest ticket. So there's all these fun little things that you end up getting sub promoters who are promoting your brand for you. You're not really spending advertising money. You're just giving something solid to them they can reshare.
And it's an experience. Derek Berry's in studio. He's Zach Eastman and Steve Harris are the guys behind Riot Feast. Also behind Saved by the Max, which was the recreation of the Cafe the Diner in Saved by the Bell.
Yes, and I just want to make sure you guys know that the Riot Fest crew has been majorly hands-on with this thing. Riot Mike, Jeremy, Ben, Dan, Katie, everyone in that office is awesome. I want to let you guys know that.
Good. All right, so let's talk about Saved by the Max, because this was a concept that came through Chicago last year, I guess it is now.
Yeah, June 1st we opened up.
This is the idea that what I found to be interesting about was an unlicensed idea. This wasn't necessarily you and NBC and Saved by the Bell getting together. I mean, you DIY'd this in a punk rock way where you're like,
very much,
we're going to recreate the diner,
yeah,
and we don't care who owns it, the property.
Yeah, like, so we basically Riot Fested it. We punk rocked it. We basically, yeah, we, like I was saying before we got on the air, you know, me and Zach always joke about it, but we've worked together for about 10 years, and every time we come up with an idea, he tells me to hit the brakes. We'll write a business plan. And I typically do. This was that one. I didn't. And I remember Zach's like face the first time we saw each other after it went viral. Like we hugged. We were like, this is wild. He's like, I'd kill you for doing that. You know, we could have thought it through a little bit more, but it worked out. And I think that's been the whole story with Saved by the Max, taking these chances.
Because NBC could come in and say, we own Angle Productions to say, we own this. Right?
And they did. So like, you know, 2 weeks down the line, things are pumping along. It's on the Today Show. It's on Meredith Vieira. We're like, you know, my mom's finally getting it. She's like, whoa, okay. So we're like, this is great. And we got an email from NBC, and they were just like, we want to talk to you guys. And the first thing we thought was like, this could be coming to a very fast end. But the first phone call we took with them was like, we love what you're doing. It's pretty far along. We want to be involved because we want to make sure it's done right, because we see how big it is. You're going to obviously do it with or without us. And, you know, we didn't know what that meant, but the offer to do it with them. So when things, you know, fast forward a couple months along, because this whole thing from announcement to the day we opened was only 3.5 months. Everything moved real fast, you know. Looking back, we probably could have had some more time, but he announced it saying June 1st we open up. NBC came along. They were like, we love it. And they started providing these shots of the room we didn't have, let's just say. Or when we sent them the first rendering, they were like, this is incredible, but the door is missing a 90-degree angle. And which has been like the biggest like photo op we've had. So they lent that stuff to us. You know,
so
everyone,
they came through with not just saying, hey, let's do this, but they had some suggestions on how to make it more legitimate.
Yeah, now that we're taking it to LA, they're like very hands-on. They're very supportive. You know, the site visits we've been to out there, they're on forum. They're lending ideas. So, I mean, you couldn't ask for a better partner than I think like this major corporation. Where typically, you hear these horror stories. So they come along, shut people down. Or, you know, it's just like, we don't do that. With them, it's been like, how can we scale this? How can we do more? We love your company. Is there other properties? So I think that's like the molding of this company that Zach, Steve, and I are doing. It's like, is there a wave of where you can do, you know, like fine dining, casual dining on one side, and then do intellectual properties and walk that fine line of having a company where you're food and beverage and, you know, you're halfway a marketing company and you're halfway just, you know,
and
a
you would be recreating experiences that people would want to make tourist destinations. I mean, you could do anything. You could do any coffee shop or restaurant that was at the center of Seinfeld or
if you get the licensing.
Yeah, that's what you have to do.
Yes, which are a lot of those are owned and been sold over the years and changed hands. But like we paid close attention to the ones that happened just because you got to kind of benchmark what's happening with the other.
Not competition, but
similar things happening.
In the industry, right?
And there's the Golden Girls one, and there's a Beetle House one, and these ones are really cool. You know, we visited most of those, and the one thing that stood out for us is we never wanted to be the place that put up pictures from eBay. And never wanted people that, like, hey, we'll make a bunch of art and cool stuff like that. We wanted to, like, submerge you in this idea. It's like a submersive experience. So with Saved by the Max, and a lot of other brands have come along and they were like, hey, I had a TV show that did this. We were like, there's no diner. There is no that. So I think anything you'll see from us in the future, there's like a reason it's happening and there's a bigger thing. You know what I mean? Like it will hit, you know, you walk in and like I've walked into these and like the Golden Girls one, I didn't go to that one. I saw that. And it's like, they did exactly what everyone hoped for. They put the pictures up. They themed everything, but like there was nothing to recreate after. You know what I mean? Like this one, we did that, and I think we'll keep doing that. And you know, we get thrown in all the times the ideas of like Peach Pit and Central Perk, and like those would be awesome to do, and they're not out of the question at some point. You know what I mean?
Right.
But like I think right now it's like Saved by the Max. We'll get this LA one open. We got some major news coming about
LA,
it.
Right?
Yeah. It'll be great out there. And like, you know, the whole cast is excited about it. We've developed like these weird friendships. When we were out in LA a couple of months ago or like a couple of weeks ago, like Mr. Belding just randomly met up with us and hung out like for a long time. And it was great.
But that, Derek, that's what's so great about it.
Yeah.
Is that it was started in Chicago, because there's something about Saved by the Max that you would expect from Sunset Strip, from Los Angeles, or something where you're like, this is a shrine to pop culture and you're going to love it. But the fact that it's in Wicker Park, the fact that it's on North Avenue,
I know.
There's something great about the fact it takes it out of that weird kind of touristy trap vibe.
And it kind of gives it that like authentic, like we're really behind this. We're not just big corporations,
product,
Zach, Derek,
it's
and
art.
Steve. And you know what I mean? Like, and that furthermore, like we wanted to make sure that's why we kept extending. People were like, did you do that for financial reasons? Did you do it to milk it? Like we never intended on just extending. We did it till we thought it had a good run in Chicago. Could we have kept going? Probably. But I think our idea was like, it did great here. We're going to move it. But we wanted to give it that full year saying if we take it to the next city, we know we'll give it another year. We didn't want to like do Chicago wrong being our hometown.
Mm-hmm.
So if we take to LA, I think, you know, the plan is it's a year or more out there, but with Chicago, we had to give it that clean year. And I think the follow-up to come, you know, we're figuring out right now. There's ideas being thrown around. But, like, Riot Feast, to me, showed people, like, okay, they can do stuff where they can be creative. They won't necessarily just have to recreate what happened, but they can, you know, form this partnership with people like Riot Fest. And we, you know, that idea, I mean, if you look at it, it's pretty cool. It's like people who love, like, American Horror Story or Game of Thrones never heard of Riot Feast or coming in there strictly because they saw it and they're like, I've wanted to eat that style before.
It's 1941 West North Avenue?
Yes. Heart of Wicker Park.
Right there, yeah. Right in the Flatiron Building, right on the side there. It's where the Saved by the Max was. Now it's Riot Feast. Derek Barry, Zach Eastman, and Steve Harris are the guys behind it, and so much more on tap for these guys. Derek, you got to come back and let us know how things go out in L.A.
I've always loved WGN, so I've got a heart in it. So no matter what, I'm calling in, I'm coming in. Thank you for having me. Like I said, we want to see you guys down at the feast. Keep in touch with us about Save That Max in L.A. if you're going to be out there.